My name is Hafid Al-Ghwel. I was born in Libya. I'm a Libyan American. I am an advisor at World Bank Group, and before that the IMF. I have been in Washington for over 30 years, and I am quite active in Libyan and Middle East politics in the region. I think the main issues that are driving this, especially Islamic radical terrorist groups, is the fact that the majority of Muslim, traditional Muslims, have allowed them and kept silent. I think the way to fight them is from within Islam itself, not by using tanks and airplanes from the West, not to make it a conflict between the West and the East. But I think reasonable Muslims need to come out and show from inside Islam that these people have no claim to make. They are using Islam in the wrong way, for the wrong purposes. Islam has never, for 1,500 years, stood for these kind of principles. Islam has been always tolerant in Turkey. If Islam wasn't tolerant, you wouldn't have an Orthodox church still left standing. In Egypt, if Islam was not accepting of Christians, you wouldn't have a Coptic church. Our history, our principle, our religion, our leaders, intellectual and philosophical leadership, from Ibn Arabi to Ibn Khaldun to Ibn Rushd to Ghazali to Jalaluddin Rumi, to all of these people, stood for a different Islam. And we need to be able to show that Islam and to point to these people and say, you don't represent us, you're not a part of it. The fight is bigger than just one country or one language or one region. It is the fight of all Muslims. Doesn't matter from where, because it is now threatening the very heart and soul of our religion.
Yes.
And our history. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there is such a thing in Islamic history and Islamic philosophy as traditional Islam. It's an Islam that is inclusive, that accepts everybody, that is at peace and friendship and alliance with Jews, with Christians. It is a religion that accepts everybody, that understands that everybody has a right to have their own faith. This is very principle of the Quran itself. فَلَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ وَلَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينَ. As long as nobody imposes their will on you, they are free to believe whatever they want, and they have every right to live equal to you. What Islam stood against was anybody to force you not to believe. But as long as you're free to be a Muslim, everybody is also free to be whatever they want.
Exactly.
Whatever they want. Yeah. That's God's will. That's what He allowed them to be. There is also a difference between an Islam that is in your heart and changes your way of thinking and your way of acting and your morality and your way of looking at the world. Look at the heart of somebody like Maulana Rumi. Of all the love of every creature, not just other human being, but even animals, his love for God. That's inside. And then there is the forms. There is a prayer or a mosque or a hijab. These are minor issues. They've never been at the heart of Islamic struggle. As for Shia and Sunni, there is no difference in Islamic history. Never been. As long as you pray and you fast and you pay zakah and you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad, there is no difference. It's a different school of thought. It's like the difference between Shafi'i and Maliki and that's it. This is what even Al-Azhar has said in the 1970s, that there is no difference between the Shia. Tell me, what was the Prophet? Was he a Sunni or a Shia? What was Imam Ali? They're all the same. It doesn't matter. It never mattered. It's only now when you have such certain enemies of Islam and evil tyrants who want to use Islam as a way to conquer and to divide, that they have created this divide between Shia and Sunni for political reasons. It has nothing to do with the religion. And I think it is time for reasonable Muslims and smart Muslims and intelligent Muslims and decent Muslims to stand up and say that. And say, this does not represent me. This is not what I believe. They are trying to change the very, very, very picture of Islam, the very idea of Islam. And I think it will be a real tragedy, not only for Muslims, but for all humanity, if one of God's great religions that has created civilizations, that has dominated the world, is allowed to be destroyed in this fashion. This is what the Prophet and Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Ali and Uthman all fought against. Because the fitna, as in the Quran, the fitna is worse than that. And you cannot allow a fitna like this. And we cannot allow a fitna that affects the very heart of Islam.
Right.
You know, people who speak about jihad, you know, they're blowing up cafes and stupid stuff. No, this is the jihad. The jihad is to defend the Islam in an intellectual way, in the right way, by bringing the truth out, by showing our history, by, showing where we stand as a nation and as a history. I mean, this is affects everybody in Turkey, in Libya, in Morocco, in Egypt, in Indonesia, in Africa. This is, it's a common heritage of humanity.
Yes.
We all share this, and we all have to participate in it, and we all have to fight it. And we can fight it intellectually by explaining to younger generation of people who have good hearts. They just, these radicals lie to them with this image of an Islam, of a caliphate and so on, which is, it's nothing. The most important thing about Islam is your moral. Do you do the right thing or not? It doesn't matter if you do it under caliphate or under... it's in your heart. It's whether you... That's how Islam spread. Islam spread because the old Muslims were very decent people.
That's
sincere,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And when they went to even as far as China, as traders, as sheikhs, as students, people converted to Islam because they saw they were very decent, moral people. They were honest, they were truthful, they were humble, not because they came with a sword and a big beard. And I think really it is a historical moment in the history of our religion and our region and the world that we need to stand up. We really need to stand up and say this is not acceptable. We don't need to wait for the United States to fight for us. When you are doing the right thing, you want the support of anybody who wants to help in doing the right thing. But you're not going to stop until they help you. You do it yourself.
Exactly.
You start.
Exactly.
And anybody who wants to help, you know, marhaba, as we say in Arabic. Who doesn't want to help, they don't have to help.
Yeah.
But it is our fight, and we need to do it. And I think Turkey... in particular, because it has represented the last of the great empires and civilizations of Islam, and has until today still maintained that centrality of moderation, of acceptance of all religions, where Jews and Christians and Muslims and everybody can live in Turkey in peace. It's a place that has gathered a lot of the Islamic heritage and architecture and history and sciences and so on. I think Turkey can play an incredible role in making sure to be the center of real traditional Islam, of the knowledge of Islam, instead of these radical, nonsensical places that are radical and closed-minded and unable to understand the world. I think the intellectual weight of Turkey, the civilizational weight of Turkey, the centrality of Turkish Islam, which is very traditional, very moderate, very and the links that Turkey has, you know, with the entire Arab world. I mean, you know, in Libya, we always joke that everybody's grandmother or grandfather is Turkish. So, you know, even. But we are all connected to Turkey.
Masha.
And I think Turkey can...
Brothers, play,
and Turkey can... We have a lot of... My grandmother is Turkish. A lot of our families are from Turkey. So Turkey can really be the center of that vision for a new, more revived, more active, more moderate, intellectual Islam.
Mm. inshallah.
Inshallah. God is merciful. God is inshallah. Compassionate. God is. If you are not like that, then you're not. You can't say you believe in God.